Sam Cottle, be praying for the Cottles, Sam and Betty Cottle. Works down at Milford, First Baptist Church of Milford, in the Bearing Precious Sea Ministries, printing and sending out hundreds and thousands of Bibles around the world. So one of the reasons that was started back many, many, many years ago at the First Baptist Church in a closet in the church. There's a, you know, a good-sized closet, but not very big, but just a closet. And they put a little, I think it was an A.B. Dick printing machine in there that would print out pages. And that's how that started, printing Bibles. The reason is because of all the different types of Bibles and all that was going on. And the thought was, listen, it's not the world's Bible to print, it's God's people's Bible to print. And if we want to keep it printed correctly, then we ought to be doing the ones printing and distributing the Word of God. What's the difference? One does it for money, and one does it because it's God's Word and they love the Lord and they want to get it out. Now, I'll let you decide, is that the world or the church that loves the money? And I think you already know which one that'll be. And so, When you do something for money, then you'll do whatever it takes to get people to buy it. You'll change it. You'll revamp it. You'll say, there's a better one. We'll give you a different cover. We'll do this, do that, and the other. And the church ought to look at the Bible as the Word of God. And so that's where it all started at, way, way back, many, many years ago. Well, today, if you go down there, they got a huge building. They got presses that go all the way to, it's great big presses. And if you've ever seen on TV or you've happened to been down at like the Dayton Daily News or something like in their printing area, those big old machines swirling those papers out, they're printing sheets of scriptures out. And then they're automatically folded and glued and all those kind of things. Different things, and out comes, they end up with a Bible, and it's all said and done, packed, put in shipping crates, and shipped out, first by truck, and then by, ships to countries around the world, where missionaries are there to pick them up and distribute them out to missionary churches and so forth. So, a lot going on there, and, I believe Sam Cottle might have been the first guy that started that, worked in that printing ministry. He's probably 80 or so years old now, and still working, getting it out, kind of managing the projects. So pray for him. I know he'd appreciate that. All right. I want to talk to you about the believer's judgment. There's a lot of confusion about judging and how God judges and so forth. And one of those areas is the area of the believer's judgment. How does God deal with His own children? And so in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk about that. Tonight we'll get a sort of an introduction here and kind of get into it just a little bit. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and let's begin with verse 11. For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid. In other words, there's one been laid already, and you can't make it any better. You can't do another foundation. This is it. No man lay than that is laid. Well, what's that foundation? Which is Jesus Christ. What you build is no better than the foundation upon which you built. You can build a big, beautiful building, but if the foundation is not good, maybe the cement wasn't mixed proportionally right or whatever the case may be, that building is going to crumble and it's going to fall or it's going to crack. It's going to be a mess. Whatever you're building is no better than the foundation that you put under that building. You've got to have it. So, what's the foundation for Christianity? What's the foundation for the church? What's the foundation for your salvation? Well, there isn't any other foundation but the foundation of Jesus Christ. So when you dig it all down and you try to figure it out, you're going to start out with Jesus Christ. And there you build up. And it's important because then he goes on to say, verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, the foundation's, what's the foundation? Jesus Christ. Now if any person, you, me, any of us here, let's just make it personal, any of us here tonight, if we build upon the foundation, you know you're saved tonight? You know you've accepted Christ as your Savior? All right, now your foundation is Jesus Christ. Now the next step is, that's just the foundation. Now you got to build the building. Or we could put it this way, you got to build the temple. Why the temple? Well, because the Bible says that our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God when we get saved. So what do you build with? Well, verse 12 says, any man build upon this foundation, Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Well, you see three things there that are good things. They are, as it says, precious things. I read somewhere that each one of these, or a commentary made out, each one of these gold, silver, and precious stones, and kind of what you could think of them, like gold is the deity, that God, you know. Even in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, they would build things out of the, what they called acacia wood. This is a wood that trees or whatever that's out in the desert, and because of lack of moisture, it grows real tight. It's real hard. You probably don't know one wood from another. Roger does, but it's like ebony. Ebony is hard, like a rock, you know. Well, acacia wood was that, maybe even more so than that, I don't know. But they'd make things out of acacia wood, and then they would overlay it with gold. The acacia wood represents humanity. Gold represented God. So, he said, "You build. What are you going to build upon your foundation, which is it's your salvation in Jesus Christ? Are you going to build gold, silver? And you know, remember, silver is what was paid out as redemption. You know, silver or precious stones, which may represent the very throne of God. And so, what are you going to build on your salvation when you get saved and you know Jesus Christ your Savior?" Your foundation, that's your starting point. Now, what's your life going to be? How's it going to be built? Or will it be wood, hay, and stubble? Now, it's important to know that the foundation, of course, is Jesus Christ. You have to know that if you're going to be saved, going to go to heaven. But then, what do you build upon it? Well, it's important to understand that God's going to judge what we build, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And so, he says here, in verse 13, every man, that's the man in the generic sense of mankind, every person, work shall be made manifest. That is, what you're building up on your foundation, Jesus Christ, it's going to be brought to light. We're actually going to find out, is it gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble? Or in other words, is it good building material or was it inferior or bad building material? Is the idea. So, he says, for the day shall declare it, there's coming a time that is appointed, and it shall, because it shall be revealed by fire. Fire means it's going to be tested. So, your foundation's Jesus Christ. By the way, if the building here burnt down, would the foundation burn down? No. Foundation still be there. That's the beautiful thing about Jesus Christ. Your salvation's still going to be there. Because that's your foundation. Alright? But I tell you, you can lose everything else. You know, if the building built down is worth rebuilding, they might clear it all off, get all settled, and just start build up on the same foundation. The foundation's still good. You know, why would you dig down and start all over there? You just, if you're going to use the same footprint or the way it's built, you just do that. So, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, that is, it's going to be tested by God. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What do you mean sort? Well, is it gold, silver, and precious stones? Is it wood, hay, stubble? Don't get all wrapped up in those six things. It's saying, is it going to be good building material, or is it going to be bad building material? But the reason why God had Paul use this, and the reason why Paul used these six things, is because if it's going to be tried as by fire, it's going to be tested, then what's going to happen to those six building materials? Gold going to be destroyed by fire? No. Matter of fact, it becomes pure by fire. Silver, precious stones? No. But how about hay, wood, stubble? Well, obviously that. So the good building material is going to stand the test, is what he's saying. The bad building material, anything we do in our lives to build our lives, and we're doing it improperly, or it's wrong, it's not good building material. And we've all been around. Brother Roger and I were over working on a house several years ago in an area here in Vandalia, and I don't even remember what it was, just a little thin wood walls. They were kind of these houses they built over in Vandalia, I think, back when it was building something. I can't remember what it was. Dams, building the dams. Okay, building the dams here and there. You know, they had a big dam building project. I think there were, what, five dams or something like that. Well, they built up these houses, just little square houses, and man, it looked like they was built to be torn down later. It's almost like, but you know, they weren't. And of course, people have gone in and remodeled and all that. But when we first started tearing apart, my goodness, was tearing apart a lot of the house down, but especially the bathroom, I think it was, and so forth. And, we could say that it was bad building material in the sense that it isn't going to last, you know. And, of course, it lasts a whole lot longer, and there's still some over there. Probably got the same material still in them, but you understand what I'm saying is, I don't think it would be the building material you would choose to build a house out of. It would not be the best. And so, I mean, years ago, I don't know that they built them anymore, but they started taking pressed wood, like a particle board stuff, and making siding out of it. Anybody got an idea if that's a good idea? When it rains and all that? You better keep a lot of paint on that stuff, right? Because you always know what happens to particle board when it gets wet. Swells out a little bit, starts flaking away, and it's gone. So that probably wouldn't have been a good building material. And that's the picture. The time's going to come when God's going to judge. The foundation is sure, because there's no other foundation but Jesus Christ. So you're either saved by Christ or you're not saved. You don't have a foundation to stand upon, so to speak. And when God judges, you're in trouble, because your foundation's not there. But we Christians who have a foundation of Jesus Christ, how are you building your life? Are you doing what God wants you doing and doing it the right way, so forth, God's way? And that's that good building material, or are we not? And that's the bad building material. And we're going to find out what sort it is, or how it was when that life was being built up, what sort of material was used. Verse 14 says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon. What's he building upon? The foundation of Jesus Christ. And so if your work abide, which you build upon thereon, he shall receive a reward. We get rewarded for the good work that has been done. But then he says, if any man's work shall be burned, remember the building material, if it's burned or when the testing, God's testing comes, it's lost. You're going to suffer loss. But himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, because the foundation's still there. Fire doesn't destroy foundation. God, if he judges Jesus Christ as our foundation, well, obviously, Jesus Christ he's the true salvation, as the true foundation. So our salvation is still there. But then he says in verse 16, and a warning, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? You're the building. This is your building project. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If you're saved tonight, you have the foundation of Jesus Christ as your salvation. There is no other foundation. And you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within you. So you're the temple of God. All right? Verse 17, and we read this, and it kind of messes people up, so let me see if I can help on this. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, you don't catch this if you don't know Greek, but it's the exact same word as defile. In other words, if any man defile, the Greek word for defile, the temple of God, him shall God destroy. It's the same word again. He's saying defile. If you defile the temple, then God's going to defile you. And the idea is if you defile your temple, and your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and the works is the building material, the way you're living your life, the works, so forth. If you defile your temple, that temple of God, then God says, I'm going to do the same to you. It's the idea of ruining the temple. You ruin my temple, I'm going to ruin you. Is what he said. God will ruin the ruiner. If you're the ruiner, I don't know if that's the right word, but God will ruin the ruiner of his temple. By the way, that's why when God says not to murder, what is happening when a person's murdered? That temple is now gone. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. He says, don't defile the temple. What happens to murderers? Well, they don't go to hell. Murderers do. See, God will ruin the ruiner of the temple. If that's a good word. And you remember, matter of fact, let's do this. Go back to John chapter 2. I think it is. John chapter 2. Look at John chapter 2. And verse 13. John 2:13. Jesus says, the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen, sheep, and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew their tables, and said unto them that sold the doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Where does God dwell upon this earth today? In you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. So here we have him in the beginning of his public ministry. We're just a chapter 2 here. In the beginning of Christ's public ministry, what did he do? He said, "I'm going to clean up the temple." And he drove them out from that. And at the end of his ministry, go to Matthew. Look at Matthew chapter 21. And in Matthew chapter 21, notice verse 12. "And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." Now notice that this is at the end of the book of Matthew and he's about ready to go to the cross. And notice, in John chapter 2, it's the beginning of his earthly ministry. And he done the same thing at the beginning as he did at the end. He said, "I want to clean up the temple." So what's the point here? Well, what he's saying is, that's the temple. And I will be the ruiner of those who ruin the temple. And he cast them out. Now, notice one other place, if you would. Notice Matthew chapter 24. Look at Matthew 24 and verses 1 and 2. Matthew 24, 1 and 2. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to shew him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." You know what he's saying there? It's better no temple than a defiled temple. Be better no temple than a defiled temple. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? It's a warning. Better no temple. What does that mean? You're not around anymore. Than a defiled temple. One that's around but is not being a testimony for the Lord. So I think God is very patient, isn't he? And you and I, we can defile the temple sometimes. We're not where we ought to be, do what we ought to do, so forth, so on. And we can defile the temple. And God is patient, but there comes a time when God says, that's enough. Better no temple than a defiled temple. You ever hear somebody say that, you know, well, you know, you can be saved and be in sin and God will take you. Well, that's right. Because better no temple, your testimony here upon earth is such that is hurting God. Now your foundation is Jesus Christ. But if your works is hay, wood, and stubble, God is saying it's better to have no temple, not to even have you around, than have you around and be a defiled temple. And you say, well, God, you mean God will just take your life in some form or fashion? Yeah, it's terrible. He's a pretty mean God. He'll take you and make you go to heaven. He said, oh, well, yeah, heaven's good, isn't it? Yeah. But God is saying, listen, I'm leaving you here after you get saved. The foundation. Build up what? A light in this world. Because where do people find Jesus? Where do people see Jesus? How do people come to know Jesus as their Savior? You're it. You're it. You're the light. You're the temple. This is where God dwells. In the temple of God. That is you. So be careful how you live your life. Are you building upon your foundation of Jesus Christ, your Savior, are you building hay, wood, and stubble? That's defiling the temple. It's going to fall. Or are you building it with gold, silver, and precious stones? And so, going back to 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile that temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. And if you're not holy or separated, building that life upon the things of God, then God will take you. Because God can ruin the ruiner of the testimony of the Lord. Now he's patient, and he's loving, and he's kind, just like parents are. I see now why children are born to young people. And I won't say any more about that. I think everybody here understands what I'm saying. There's a reason, all right? And I come home, I like to sit down and do what I want to do and not run around after kids. And they get one thing and then the other, you know, and all that. And so you need to be young. But God's patient. He loves you. You're His child. And He's going to work on training you up in the way you should go. But if there comes a time when that stops and you are messing things up to the point that he says, better no temple than a defiled temple. Does that make sense to you? That's what he's teaching right here. How this. So God's judgment deals with our sin, our sanctification, and our service. And we're going to look at those. And let me say it again. God's judgment deals with our sin. There's things he does. He deals with our sin. With our sanctification. Now you know sanctification means to be set apart. And sanctification with God means to be set apart unto God. Alright? And then our service. Or in other words, it deals with the totality of our life. The past, the present, and the future. It is dealt with by the judgment of God. And we're going to start out, and I'm not going to get into it tonight because it's already time to go. But we're going to start out with the first one when it talks about God's judgment that deals with our sin. Let's just look at this and then we'll have prayer. Go back past Hebrews to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're talking about our sin. And this is, we said past, present, and future. This is past. We are saved. Our foundation that our life is going to... when does life really start for us, spiritually? Saved. Here's your foundation. Where does a building start out? Foundation. You got to start at the foundation. I'd like to put the... Personally, I'd just soon put the roof on first. Have some sky hooks up there. And then that way you keep the sun and the rain off of you while you built the walls. And then after that, all got everything built real nice, then you put the foundation in. And you can't do that. Don't work that way, does it? Got to put the foundation in first. Well, what about going to heaven? Got to get the foundation first. What's the foundation? Jesus Christ. He's the only foundation, it says. Right here. Then you start building the temple for God. And he starts to work and deal in your life. So we start out with that. That first judgment is the judgment of sin. 1 Peter 2. And let's look at verse 24. Who his own self. This is talking about Jesus. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body. So, his own self in his own body bore our sins on that tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. What do I mean, be dead to sin? He takes our sin. All right? The sin of our life is been taken care of. It's dead. All right? So, we being dead, it doesn't mean we being dead to sin, oh, I can look around and I never sin anymore. Well, no, I don't mean that. Obviously. It means what? Jesus Christ paid the sin. Your sin debt is dead. It's over with. Once you pay, aren't you glad once your debt's paid, it's paid? I mean, they can't come back and say, you know, we want you to pay that again. No, I've already paid it. Here's paid in full. You know that your sin debt when you receive Christ and He's your founder, guess what? What's your sin debt in heaven? Paid in full. So, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. He pays your sin debt. He gives you the Holy Spirit that He will begin to work in you to build gold, silver, and precious stone. Or in other words, build the building material that He wants. Or in other words, to build your life as He wants. Now, we still got an old sin nature there, but greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world, but the flesh is still there. But God says, hey, I've paid the sin debt. You're set free. Free to do what? Free to do my will. To do what's right. I've given you power. What power? Not the power of yourself. The power of God in you, which is the Holy Spirit of God. See? In other words, I just don't have an excuse why I shouldn't be building my life the way God wants me to. I got a foundation, Jesus Christ. I've got the Holy Spirit that's more powerful than the devil himself. More powerful than the human spirit. He's God dwelling within me. So nobody's going to go to hell or go to hell or whatever and say, why am I here? You know, I was as good as so-and-so. Doesn't have a thing to do with you being good as so-and-so. Where's your foundation? They say, what do you mean, where's my foundation? I don't want you talking about foundation. Yeah, that's your first problem. You say, preacher, do you know for sure you're saved? Yeah, my foundation's Jesus Christ. You sure you're going to go to heaven? Yeah. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. He paid my sins. I believe it with all my heart. My foundation is Jesus Christ. My foundation is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my foundation. Can't get any shorter than that. You say, yeah, but how's your life been? Well, it's not always been good. Sometimes it's been gold, silver, precious. Sometimes it's hay, wood, and stubble. I need to get what? I need to do God's will, God's way. How do you find that out? Through God's Word. He saved us. He gave the Holy Spirit of God. He gives us the Word of God. And He gives us prayer. Now, tell me your excuse. I don't have one. None of us really do. So, He His own self bare our sins in His body on the tree. That payment was made, being dead to sins. Our payment has been made. Should live unto righteousness by whose stripes you were healed. All right. So, we're going to talk about that next week. Our sin, that's the beginning. We're talking about the believer's judgment. All right? The believer's judgment. Not the unbeliever. The believer's judgment. Man, we're going to have a hard time dealing with judgment if we don't understand our own judgment. So, we're going to get that figured out. Our past, our present, and our future. And I hope as we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there, verses 11 through 17, that helps you understand the foundation, the building, and what God's looking for. And He judges. He judges us, not because He dislikes us, but because He loves us. He corrects us. And we're going to talk about that correction process. It'll help us understand. But He says, if I can't correct you, then I think I'm just going to take you home to be with me. What does parents do with children that they're out playing and having a hard time and they're not paying attention? What does mom and dad a lot of times do with kids playing outside? Bring them inside, right? You go to your room. Guess what God's going to do? God's going to say, I've tried to correct you. I've tried to help you. I've had people deal with you and so forth. You are a child of God, and I love you. I just think I better take you home. See? Why? Because it's better no temple than a defiled temple. And we're not talking about just little things that we do here and there wrong. I'm talking about we're going off in the wrong direction and we're a bad testimony for the Lord. And the Lord says, that's it. Better no temple than a defiled temple. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.